tonight on AWCY-FM, a series of Chicago city ordinances go in effect this summer. The target? Your barbecue. Learn what the mayor's office is demanding this time. That and our C2E2 coverage, an interview with an artist whose work is being installed in the 13th Ward, hypnosis with Heidi, and all ending with a hilarious segment from our morning chuckleheads, PB and the Jerk.
The following program is a work of fiction and falsehood that is not meant to be interpreted as actual fact. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the broadcaster or the management thereof. This program deals with morbid themes and grotesque humor. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, Chicago. It's 8:02 p.m. on May 11th, 2024. I'm Cam Smedley, joined by our investigative journalist.
That's me, our sponsors.
And we will be starting with the headlines. State officials request that Chicagoans stay inside for the Aurora Borealis, which for the first time in recent history will be visible at this latitude.
Right. If you were to go outside yesterday and also today in the city of Chicago, then you may have seen the Northern Lights, also called the Aurora Borealis, beautiful lights in the skies. However, state officials are asking Chicagoans to this time stay inside. It's not worth your time. Don't look at it. J.B. Pritzker specifically gave a statement from Springfield saying, why don't we let the rest of the state have some fun for a change? Chicagoans get everything, you know? All the time, they get all the cool stuff. Let's give the rest of the state something.
Well, you know, not to editorialize too much, but it's a little rich coming from J.B. Pritzker. I mean, you know, it's not as though Springfield is... You know, it's not Kankakee or something. You know, it's strange to me that he would be having this posture.
Well, he continued on. Now you care about the sky, he said. 364 days a year, you don't give an expletive, and now you're suddenly interested? Expletive off. You probably have to wake up early for brunch anyway.
You know, I take it back. I think that's quite prescient.
It should be important to note that the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, has not responded to requests for comment on this issue.
A man is still missing after the Chicago Children's Museum held a hide-and-seek event last week.
Absolutely. So this is last week on May 4th, the Chicago Children's Museum held their first ever 21 and up hide-and-seek event on-site at the museum to raise money for museum services. As it goes to happen, though, thrills quickly turn to chills soon after, and then followed by panic. After several hours of searching resulted in only 102 of the original 103 adults actually being found during this hide-and-seek event.
So there's someone missing is what we're getting at here. 103 people went in, 102 people came out.
Absolutely. So you know, they gave him a few hours, like, oh, this is a really good hider. Props to this guy. At the conclusion of the event, they had to call first responders. They could not find this person. They, you know, announced on the overhead, speakers, come out, please, we beg of you. The event's over. It's not fun anymore. Nobody came out. First responders, police, firefighters, paramedics could not find him, empty-handed. And we are still missing Adam Fryer one week later. Adam Fryer, a loving husband, father of three, and church leader from the Uptown Funk neighborhood, is unfortunately still missing at this time.
Tragic. It's tragic to see something like this occur. Hide and seek should be a thing of joy. It should be, especially in adults only, presumably with drinks served. I could see that being quite fun. Mm-hmm. And to realize that someone went missing, I mean, is there any leads on what happened here at all?
Absolutely not. He was this individual was last seen. Adam was last seen in the ball pit, and the ball pit has been cleared out. And Adam, no sign of Adam to be found. Someone believed to have found his horned rimmed glasses near the lobby, but they turned out just to be somebody else's. They weren't Adam's notable frames. CCM event organizers asked us here at AWCY-FM to read the following in hopes of Adam hearing. Adam, if you're listening, the game is over. Your family misses you. Please come home.
Well, thoughts and prayers to Adam's family as they go through this troubling time. Mm-hmm. It's as if the earth just opened up and swallowed someone. Mm-hmm. It's always tragic and mysterious, mm-hmm. usually more mysterious. The Chicago Symphony Orchestra released their summer schedule, and there's some interesting new performances on the docket.
Absolutely. So for individuals that maybe haven't, the CSO, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, is a notable musical organization in our city. Gone there.
As I think most normal people in Chicago haven't.
Right. Especially young people in the city of Chicago. Here are some very interesting things to hopefully gauge your interest, get you interested in what's going on this summer. The first one being Mahler's Incomplete. They're doing a performance of Mahler's Incomplete 4,000 Balloon Popping Symphony, which is gearing up to be very exciting.
And in this instance, are there people playing instruments? Is it all balloons? I don't really know classical music. What is the, exactly is this?
It's a lot of balloon, and
right.
And you can pop a balloon in so many ways, as Mahler found out. The next one is live musical chairs.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Exactly. I mean, it's a childhood favorite. Hopefully nobody's gonna get lost like in that hide and seek one. Next up, we have a 25-minute orchestral version of Rob Zombie's classic, Dragula.
That's a good song.
And it's a great orchestral version. Think of how the horns will blare. Next up, you have a virtual performance that CSO is putting on. You heard about these VR online performances. Well, CSO is new on that front, and they're doing their own VR performance in Roblox.
And what is Roblox?
Roblox is like a cool, fun video game place to hang out.
Ah. Yeah.
It's kind of blocky sometimes.
Huh. Well, and now there's orchestral music, apparently.
Yes, and the next one, for those individuals that think that the CSO tickets can be rather pricey, every weekend they are going to make it sound like you're listening to the orchestra only using one earbud in, and that's half price.
Good deal. Good deal.
Great deal, actually. They are doing we've heard about these cicadas in the city of Chicago. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about them, but they are doing a celebration of cicadas. Four performances with kazoos and synchronized dancing to celebrate the little guys that descend upon our city every single year.
I'm looking at this right now, and I see something here. It just says Bocephus.
Ah,
bold impact font. What is this?
That's going to be a big one. It's going to be a good one.
Well, the font is certainly larger than the other ones.
Just like the performance.
Right.
It's reminiscent of the performance of Bocephus. They're doing Bocephus, finally. Chicagoans, get ready. Bocephus is coming. Summer 2024. Don't miss it.
Is this something you've heard before or seen before?
Bocephus?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bocephus.
Moving on. Wisconsin Fish and Wildlife confirm the existence of Sasquatch and that he died in custody.
Tragic, unfortunate circumstances.
Very sad, very sad.
Sergeant Peter Randolphs announced the findings in a press conference, which was broadcasted from Madison, Wisconsin, also on May 22nd. And he said this: "We're still trying to get to the bottom of what happened, but preliminary reports indicate the cause of death was self-inflicted asphyxiation."
It's tragic. It's tragic when this sort of thing happens. You know, I never really considered myself in the realm of Sasquatch believers. I know I have friends and family members who are, and they have been absolutely gutted by this this situation.
Truly, and finally we got the evidence that we needed. Only, unfortunately, this happened, and nobody's to blame. You know, it's not a victimless crime. It's a perpetratorless crime.
Against Sasquatch.
Yeah, against Sasquatch. Animal rights and police reform advocates, however, dispute this theory, pointing out the longstanding pattern of excessive force that is being used by fish and wildlife departments, as well as disbelief in that a Sasquatch would know how to, as they say, tie a noose. AWCYFM will give updates as the story develops.
Sasquatch has got thumbs. I mean, I could see
but
it.
But are they like really good thumbs, though?
I mean, that's a question for Wisconsin Fish and Wildlife. Any reports on if they've shown the body, if anyone's gotten a chance outside of the department to actually see the this purported Sasquatch corpse?
They are, you know, I have seen some photos. They are, unfortunately, they seem to be very, very blurry. But we'll, you know, we're monitoring the situation.
And we will have updates as they come to us.
Absolutely.
Finally, for our headlines tonight, the Co-Prosperity Gala held here at the Co-Prosperity Sphere in Bridgeport, Chicago.
Where we broadcast this program.
Had a event to support the Chicago avant-garde fashion scene. It happened just yesterday. And R, you were there.
I was there, yes.
How was it?
I saw the fashion. It was spectacular. I mean, it was truly avant-garde, if I could use any word to describe it.
And I'm reading here, you have some pictures that we can pull up to sort of show the red carpet. Yeah.
No, Cam, I'm not a photographer. I'm a reporter. I'm a
right,
journalist.
But we're doing a story about the fashion. We're doing a story about the fashion.
And I saw the really good fashion. I could talk about it if you want.
Well, I mean, we have a stream.
Right.
There is an opportunity for...
If only we had a photographer, though, who could take these pictures. You know, I'll just describe
them. Do you not have your phone? Did you not bring your phone?
Listen, that's my personal phone. I'm not going to use it for
your
work.
Move your mouth away from me.
Well,
one second.
I'm just going to describe this fashion.
All right, fantastic. Describe the fashion, Art. Describe it for us.
Okay. So the first one was by... what really started off taking my eye was Shelly Garf, who is the CEO of Chicago Money Farm. And her dress was, it was cubes, all right? It was like one central cube, and then there were cubes in the corners of each cube, each edge of the cube, and they got bigger as they went, you see. And then the intersections between the cubes, they were sort of like, there was a whoosh there. You understand? It's like a whoosh. And then the different colors of the different sides, they kind of like... It was like an optical illusion, you know?
Okay,
let me just move on to the next one. This one's a little bit easier to describe. This was Bilbo Dragons, who hosts the a real play, Magic the Gathering thing on...
This is great reporting.
So he hosts somewhere. And anyway, his dress was slides. So it harkens back to your childhood. You know, you're sliding down a slide. And
okay, so we're not referring to the type of shoe called a slide.
No, the dress was like a big slide, and
right.
It was shiny and
metal, plastic. Why am I asking?
Normal material for like a dress, but it was like a big slide. And then there was Helly Book, who was an author in the city of Chicago, another famous celebrity.
I don't know any of these.
Harkened back to larvae. You see, it was kind of like a larvae.
Like a bug.
Yeah, it's like a bug, but it's not like it hasn't started looking like a bug yet, you know?
Okay, just
it doesn't have legs.
Where is the body in relation to this bug dress?
The body?
Well, excuse me.
Helly's body?
Yeah, where's the head and the arms and the
They're in it.
They're in the larvae.
They're in the costume, they're in the dress. And then there's Joe Gross, who is another local celebrity of some renown, news reporter. Their theme was urbanism, so it was the kind of thing you'd see on the street, sort of in your daily life. Shoes, pants. Okay, I got a few more. Okay, we got Hank Tankerson.
Let's just run through this.
Darkness was his theme. It was very apparent when you saw it.
So,
like all
black, wearing all
black. No, that's what's wild is that he was not wearing any black. Then there was Pootie Tut, whose theme was grease.
I don't even bother explaining. Just keep it going.
The Stroogie Sisters, the performance art group in the city of Chicago. Noble Gases. Truly
spectacular. What does that even mean?
Well, in the periodic table, there's a whole group of these elements.
Okay. Who's this DJ Frunge?
Another periodic table one, supporting science education in the city of Chicago. This was uranium. And boy, was it radioactive, was this dress. It sure did sparkle. And it had a hue to it. And then finally, there was Chef Dog Freon, famous. Oh, everybody knows Chef Dog Freon, famous restaurateur in the city of Chicago.
Multiple restaurants throughout the city. I've eaten at a few. It's all right.
And his getup is probably the easiest one to describe. Is a dress made from 100 trees that died of natural causes, sort of like a renewable theme, you know.
Well, that's just fantastic, R. It really sounds like you got an excellent story from the Co-Prosperity Gala.
I can't even tell you. These were mind-boggling dresses.
I sure would love to have a way to – sure wish we had a way to visualize these, you know.
I think I did.
You can take photos on your phone. You know that, right?
Listen, I'm running out of storage on this thing.
All right. Well, those are the headlines. So why don't we go ahead and move over to a little bit of underwriting to continue the show. A wonderful volunteering opportunity here at the station. Mm-hmm. Let's load that up.
Yeah, let's do that. Hey, what's up, listener? This is our sponsors. And with me, as always, is
Cam Smedley.
Yes, from AWCY-FM. And, it's getting into the summer months. It's looking really nice outside. And And that's great for everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's the time to barbecue with your friends. It's a time to go sit on the stoop and sort of see the beautiful foliage and the oak tree next door.
Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful time to get civic-minded.
Exactly. Civic-minded, to think about how to benefit your community, your city. And one of those ways, obviously, there's many possible ways to do that. But one way that we ask you to really consider is, well, here at AWCY-FM, we are looking for summer goons to uphold our mission of providing news and interest to the city of Chicago.
That's right, R. There's so many volunteering opportunities that open up, internships that open up in the summer.
You got the library, you got the park district.
Right, the police department,
of course.
The Metropolitan Water Reclamation District.
Trash.
All of these wonderful opportunities for young people and maybe not so young people to learn valuable skills, make valuable contacts, and once again, use their time in a positive way.
Exactly, and obviously all of those things are great, but one of those ways that is really something if you're considering your future, if you're considering going into really any number of careers, and you want something that is going to look good on a resume and build skills that people will be interested in, then gooning, being a goon for AWCY-FM is a very good choice.
Yeah, it's a role that combines, you need leadership skills.
Leadership skills, of course.
It trains physical fitness. Mm-hmm. It's a very active job,
Teamwork skills.
Teamwork skills,
it's
absolutely.
It's going to make you think on your feet, absolutely.
Right, and
shaking also, hands, greasing hands.
And also there's a degree of marketing there, too, which,
sure.
In this economy.
You got to be a salesman. You got to sell yourself. And who sells themselves? More than a good
and portraying the brand, portraying the brand in a positive light.
Exactly. So, and really, all we're asking is what do you need as a goon? You need loyalty. You need somebody to say, "A-okay, boss, I'm on it."
Yeah, boss, I'm on it.
Yeah, exactly. And
down to the docks, boss, I got it.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as you have that stick to it attitude, there might be a position for you as a goon with AWCY-FM. And it's not just one type of goon. If you don't think of yourself as a goon, that's
Reconsider. We need brainy goons. We need sneaky goons.
Yeah, we need burly goons, of course, hairy goons, tall goons, short goons, goons of all shapes and sizes.
So, this is don't feel intimidated by coming to us and seeing if because if you're interested, we're interested to talk to you. We're a family here at AWCY.
We are a family. We treat all of our goons as family.
And it's not just the family, the access to connections. It's not just the love that being a part of this family brings. There are T-shirts. You get a T-shirt.
Yes. What's in it for me, you might be asking yourself. Well, there's a ton.
Said it. The T-shirt.
You get a tote bag.
Tote bag.
A mug.
And a water bottle.
and a water bottle, and that's just on top of the skills that you will be achieving and the connections that you'll be making, which are going to, we've seen it happen time and time again. We've seen it happen. They will be impressive to, they will improve your career chances later on in life.
Right. The amount of people that have gone on to be successful Chicago businessmen, successful Chicago politicians, lawyers, doctors, they all started off as goons.
As goons.
And you can as well.
You can as well. And for an organization like AWCYFM, that's going to look good on a resume.
Right. That it carries some clout.
Right. I mean, I was just talking to one of our goons last year, Chet. He, you know, he started off gooning. He didn't have a lot of experience. It was right out of high school. He started off gooning with us. And I just heard back from him. He is owner and operator of several Cermak fresh markets.
What a story. Exactly. What a story. And so if you're interested in being a goon this summer
for AWCYFM
and our mission to bring to Chicago news and interest,
yes.
Please reach out at awcyfm@gmail.com.
Yeah, look up the positions. If you want to look up any positions, you can visit awcyfm.com.
We're also hiring a couple of fellas.
Mm-hmm. Some good fellas,
some Goombas.
Some wise guys.
Yeah.
We can never have enough wise guys.
Right. So if any of that sounds appealing, please reach out. Once again, awcyfm@gmail.com.
Hope to see you gooning for us soon.
And we're back. Cam Smedley here.
Mm-hmm. Our sponsors.
And for our next segment, we would like to bring you some interesting coverage from Chicago's own C2E2.
Yes, that is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. It's the 14th year of this convention dedicated to comics and pop culture and, you know, manga, anime, all sorts of things like that, video games.
And what a fun time it was. I had never in my life, you know, I read comic books when I was a little kid, but yeah. I did not know
Shazam.
All of these new comic books, all of these incredible characters,
all these incredible video games.
And the people, the costumes.
Exactly.
The costumes are really something.
A lot of
cosplay.
We broke out the mobile recording unit and we went there and we were on, got some great on-the-ground interviews and discussions with the vendors and artists and guests. It was a fun time all around.
It really was. So we're going to go ahead and cut to that. Please enjoy
our segment known as C2E2, We See You Too.
It's on?
Oh, yeah, it's on.
All right.
3 minutes.
Okay. What do we think of that one, huh?
You know, not the worst.
No.
Good start.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy myself particularly.
Kind of young crowd. Very young crowd.
That's what they're into these days.
Wow. Beats me.
You got kids, you know.
Well, whatever. I got a stepson, you know. But he's like, he's into these like, what do you call it? They're like little skateboards.
Tech decks.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's into right now.
Well, that's weird.
It's like a fad, you know.
For years, though.
Well,
decades.
I mean, first it's this. I mean, before it was Pokemon cards. Before that, it was, what are they called? They're like, well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But right now, it's tech decks.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool. What else is new?
Not much.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I might go get some Peruvian food this weekend.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
I don't know either. I just I've been doing this thing lately just to change it up. You know, have you heard of Yelp before?
Yes, Cam, I've heard of Yelp.
Well, yeah, so you kind of just can scroll. I just sort of scroll through it.
You just
whatever.
Look for good ratings.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then I just sort of, you know, it's kind of change things up on the weekend, you know?
Yeah. I just just go to, like, Google Maps, see what's in your area.
Well, I mean, you know, but I've done that.
They give
you
like a star rating.
Oh.
And, you know, I just go to the – if I need to go to a place, then I just go to the one that has the highest stars.
Right. I mean, don't you, like – got to change it up every once in a while, right? I mean.
No, not really.
All right.
I got 37 seconds left.
You watch that movie you were talking about? What was it called again?
Dune 2.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Not as good as the first.
No. Huh?
Yeah. I don't know.
What happens in that again? It's like an action movie or something, right?
I mean, yeah, they in what, just the second one or the entire both of them together?
I guess both of them together.
He's a guy. He saves the spice planet. Is
right.
A big worm.
Okay.
All right, we're going on in 3 seconds. So 2, 1.
Well, that was a whole lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. I was really excited to meet Captain Caleb. He was a great time. I loved
what a character.
What a character! Just seeing everybody.
One of a cast of characters, all more fun, zany. Just a great time. It was a great time.
And we were very excited to go back next year.
And many years into the future.
Yeah. And that is that.
That is that.
Oh, Mama. That's right. It's Elvis. And you're listening to, what's it called? ABWYFM, Mama. Whoa.
You write the segments for this, correct? We don't have a separate writing team. You do all the writing for these stories.
I mean, yes, it's things that actually happened, so it's more recording and reporting.
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of where I'm confused.
Sure.
We never do a sports segment. We never talk about the Bears, the White Sox. Normally a news program would talk about those sorts of things. I'm just curious, is there a reason they don't do it here? As we don't do it here?
Reason?
Yeah.
It's just not a priority of the show.
Well, how could it be?
Sports?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never thought about it. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it just seems obvious to me. It's a news show, you know, people in Chicago, they like their sports. They like to hear about the Bulls, the Bears, White Sox.
Just because.
Especially we are on the South Side. We broadcast out of the South Side.
We have talked about sports before. It's just not if you're a news show, you don't have to talk about sports.
Well, I mean, I think you're wrong. I think an essential part of the news show.
It's not.
I'm a presenter. Listen, how many news stations have you worked for? Me, I can't even count on all my fingers and toes how many I've worked for.
Uh-huh.
And in every single one of them, there was a sports desk. And you would go to the sports desk and a guy would talk about the sports. And people expect that.
Right.
So why don't we have it here?
It's
maybe I just want to talk about – How about this? Maybe I just want to talk about sports. Maybe I just want to report on the sports sometimes.
But there's already – like you just said, there's so many people talking about sports. It's just not a priority. Who cares? Nobody – it's not –
Normal people care. I, as a normal person, speak on behalf of normal people when I say they want to know what's going on.
Okay, you want to talk about sports.
Yes.
That's fine. You can talk about sports. I'm not going to write a story about it. Unless there's a story associated with it, I personally don't care.
Well, no.
There's nothing new going on. It's always the same.
It is your job to – you are doing the programming. You are providing
the
material.
Story?
I'm the presenter. I can't just go off the cuff, or at least I shouldn't. It's very unprofessional of me, although sometimes you and your actions make it such that I have to.
The scores? What do we do? Talk about the scores?
Yes. Who's playing who? Who's going ahead? Who's falling behind?
God.
Just
Google it at that point. Just look it up.
No, but we provide – we – all right.
It's time to move on to the next segment.
Yes. Could be a sports segment.
But instead it is a public art segment.
Instead it is a public arts segment.
Right.
That's right. You did an interview with a guy – excuse me, a sculptor from
– Not a guy. An artist.
From Expo Chicago.
From Expo Chicago. He has some very interesting art. Why don't we throw it over to that interview?
Yes. Let's do that. I'm still saying just you know, the scores. Just the score. I mean, that's it. It takes a few moments, and you put the scores on.
A few moments of my lifetime.
you know, when the 13th Ward approached me and asked for a sculpture to be erected, to be placed in the neighborhood.
Yeah. A neighborhood that is devoid of very much culture.
And I mean, you know, there's an argument to be made that public art and that is often put up is devoid of culture in itself. But they came to me and they said, we love your work. We love the element of recycling and the sort of the message of Americana. And but, you know, coupled with a, you know, a more intellectual edge, I would say. They didn't say that, but I would say that.
Mm-hmm. What did they say?
They said that they liked the recycling and the Americana.
Okay, and those are two of your primary features of so much of your art.
Right, and so you know what I ended up proposing to them. I you know, I was kind of insulted at first because once again, as I put it, public art is you know, it's very. It's very lumpen, you know. It's very dirty and grimy.
You think
grimy.
You're better than that? You think if so many people can see your art?
No, I am not, as the artist, better than that. But the work itself deserves a certain degree of detachment, from
right.
These, you know, the rabble.
Sure.
In any case, yeah. I gave them this proposal and. I thought they would turn it down out of hand. It was kind of a joke. It was kind of a screw you.
Yeah.
But you know, they loved it. The older person, I forget their name. But
of the 14th ward.
Of the 13th ward.
13th ward.
13th
yes.
Ward. Yes.
The two very close wards.
I wouldn't know. I don't care for that sort of thing, politics. But they loved it, and so you know. Now it's been unveiled, and I'm here talking to you about it.
Absolutely, and location I would say is particularly interesting for this piece. It's in a very nice part of the city, and from what I can tell, I would call it. Well, you mentioned recycling. I would call it very reminiscent of trash.
Well, I think, you know, saying that, you are correct in a manner of speaking, because you know, a lot of my artistic sort of influence comes from what might be known as outsider art, folk art,
of course,
especially from the American the South, you know, sort of that Tampa Bay, you know, rustic. You know, swamplands sort of energy. And
right.
So, and yes, they were making their art from garbage, we might say, you know, rusted out trucks, perhaps a refrigerator, you know, a mailbox, and in the shape of a bass fish, you know, incorporated in there. And you know,
right.
That's, and so to that end, you are correct, you know, the piece, which I have, you know, titled Monument to Folly, it does incorporate such things as propane tanks and a fender from a 64 Buick, I believe, and, you know, a number of other sort of scrap, you know, quote unquote scrap elements.
And I would say what is truly striking about this piece, and something that you're very proud of, is it's no mystery how much you were paid to put this piece up, and you were quite proud of how little you spent on the actual materials themselves. They were just things you had lying around.
Well, I mean, any artist has things, any sort of sculptor has things just laying around, as you put it. But yes, it was something that you know, but what is an artist's labor? You know, when an artist is working on one project, he could be working on a different project. You know, so there's sort of a opportunity cost associated. But yes, I did quite well. I did quite well for myself. I'm not going to lie about that.
And already, another major component of this art. You spoke about not
Monument of Folly.
The monument
number one.
Yes, the other major component is that you do have a plaque. On the, you know, at the front of it, you mentioned that you weren't really a fan of public art, but you seem to be taking it in great stride that this is something that the community can add to, because you are inviting people to smash up the art even more. As it says on the plaque, you're inviting people to take sledgehammers and baseball bats and just maybe even their feet and pulverize this thing.
Yes. I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of one thinks of, you know, numerous works that involve in themselves the destruction of the work. It sends a powerful message. It sends, you know, it really goes through with the sort of the underlying concept of this piece and, you know, sort of my response to public art, mm-hmm. Is that all is dust.
Now, the one criticism that has been levied, despite the universal acclaim for this piece, is your response to the use of it by certain groups in Chicago. Specifically, you are against certain groups. Specifically, the skateboarding community has been excited about using this as a piece to do tricks off of, and you have not taken kindly to that, to the extent of possibly even physical force, I believe.
Yes. Skateboarding is truly, how do I put this? Skateboarding is trash art for trash people. It is. It belongs in the trash.
I see.
And destroy it. I'm sorry. Let me specify a little further.
Especially skateboarding, for the non-artists.
You know, there are many things in that call themselves art, that call themselves craft, that you know, are relegated to the dustbin of history. You mm-hmm. know, but skateboarding in particular needs to be obliterated off of the face of the earth. And you can quote me on that.
I will. Cam, all I'm saying is this space that's not large enough for a sports desk.
It's not. It doesn't have to be a... Oh. Well, that was our sponsor's interview with none other than Darian Sheff, Chicagoland...
he's an artist.
Sculptor. And
a true artist. Unlike, you know, art has gone downhill over the years. That's clear. It's great that there's one person, Darian, is holding down the fort of true art.
Have you seen this piece?
Oh, no. I don't go over there very often. No.
Neither do I. So,
13th
let's,
word.
For our next segment, we do have coming up soon the new barbecue ordinances announced by the mayor, the Chicago City Administration.
Yes, the mayor's office specifically.
But before then, let's move on to a clip from a show on one of our sister networks. Mm-hmm. As I'm sure you are aware, we at the AWCY-FM network, we do have our main show here in Chicago.
Yes, AWCY-FM News.
But there are a number of other shows
that
are on the network.
Of different interests and varieties. And so this is just one of them.
Yes, this is Hypnosis Heidi, a self-help program that is broadcast on AWCY-FM Northeast, I believe, out of Toronto.
And Heidi's helped me in the past, and hopefully she'll help you, too.
Enjoy.
Welcome to Hypnosis with Heidi.
Hey, Heidi. Hi, Heidi. This is Connor Overst over here in the next to the Irish neighborhood. I'm calling in because I have some problems. I tried BetterHelp, and it just didn't work. So I thought
Wait,
I'd call
Connor,
in.
Connor, what's your sign?
My zodiac sign?
Yeah.
Capricorn?
I knew it. I was going to say that. It's just something between me and my audience. Like, I can always just tell. Anyways, no, please keep going. Thank you so much.
Sure. So I'm a listener. I know that you helped a lot of people. Maybe you can help me. I just, ever since the pandemic, I found it just very difficult to go outside, and it's getting harder and harder just to go outside, to go to the store,
to
go to my mailbox.
Mailbox.
I look in the mailbox, and I see the mail, and mail. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who's putting it in there.
Mysteries.
And then I turn around, and then people are looking at me, and then they look away.
They're staring.
Yeah, no, that's, I think they're staring at me. I think they're tracking me, because I think I keep seeing the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
And And my neighbors have moved, and strangers have moved in, and these strangers, I find them putting things all over my house.
All over your house.
On my walls. I think they're listening to me. I think they're watching
listening,
me.
Yes.
I just need some help.
You need some help.
Yeah.
Connor, what I'm hearing is that you need help.
You're getting that too? Because that's also what I think. Yes, I think I need help. I don't know what that help looks like. I'm hoping that maybe you can provide a little guidance. I've started having nightmares too.
Nightmares. Yes.
Really scary ones.
Well, I do believe you've called your only option. I do want to give a disclaimer before we go any further that this is Hypnosis with Heidi LLC. Do not practice hypnosis if you are pregnant or expecting to be pregnant. Do not consume opioids while doing hypnosis with Heidi.
Is that for me or for...
Anyway, Connor.
Yeah.
I think Heidi. That you're ready to face up to those facing you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're ready to open the mailbox mm-hmm. and put your hand inside without fear.
I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
I think you're ready to open the envelope addressed to you.
No, I certainly can't. I don't think I could do that.
It's a new me, it's a new day, and I'm free. How can you open the letter if you're not open to hypnosis with Heidi?
Heidi, I'm very open to hypnosis with Heidi.
So if you're following along at home, as you know, hypnosis, it's kind of old school. It's kind of weird and old. But we're going to do it a little more fun here at Hypnosis with Heidi. So as you know, this is an auditory medium. You can listen to us on the radio, but also at our podcast at Apple, Spotify. And you can also buy us at cassette at Whole Foods in aisle 17. Now, as we know, you're going to need to find something to hypnotize yourself.
Okay.
This is good, Connor. It's going to empower you. Okay?
Okay.
So we're going to need you to find something in your house. Mm-hmm. Something like beautiful, something that speaks to you, something that you can dangle in front of your face. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I actually have something prepared.
Okay. Describe the object to us.
It's a yo-yo. I have a yo-yo I was given as a child.
So classic and fun. You're like so... quirky and weird. Like,
thanks.
I love it.
Wait, hold on. I can do a really cool trick, too.
You okay. See? I can't see it. Oh, we are on the radio. But you're, like, so crazy and fun. I love you. I'm so glad you called.
I love you, too, Heidi.
Wow. Anyway, so I just... What's going to happen is you're going to... Are you familiar... What's that yo-yo trick where it's, like, a triangle and It's dangling between the triangle.
The pendulum.
The pendulum. Perfect. So we're going to do the pendulum. And I'm going to need you to focus on the yo-yo.
Okay.
As it goes through the pendulum. Then I'm going to speak to you.
Hold on. I need to put my phone on speaker.
Yes. If you're listening at home, you can follow along. If you have a yo-yo, that works too. You could also use a Hypnosis with Heidi necklace and charm set available on my Etsy shop at Hypnosis with Heidi, 2 H's. Okay, Connor.
Yes.
Do you have the yo-yo?
Yeah, I have it. I have it right here.
Okay, could you walk the dog a few times just to get the hang of it?
The dog?
That's a yo-yo move, Connor. Don't you know? Connor is so random, you guys. I don't even get it. Okay, so we're going to do the pendulum. That was just a nod for like the actual yo-yo fans who are listening.
I know what the walk the dog is.
Okay, so first what I'm going to need you to do is breathe deeply. Hold it. And release. And breathe in. And hold it. Hold it for as long as you can. I want you to feel the tension inside of you. That's the tension of everyone watching you. The government, your neighbors, your boss, your ex-girlfriend, like your friend down the street you can't release, and everyone, you know, that has their eyes on you. And that's so true, and that's so valid, and that's what we're doing here today.
So they do. They're watching me. Even my ex-girlfriend.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do the pendulum. Can you do the move? I should have checked if you have the skills for this yo-yo
before we begin.
It could go very wrong if you don't have the skills.
I promise you, Heidi, I have the skills.
All right. So if you're following along at home, we're going to do the pendulum with our own yo-yos.
Do I start?
You start.
Okay, yes. I'm doing it.
How can I be sure? Can you hold the yo-yo up to the phone?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So, Connor, I need you to watch the yo-yo go back and forth, left to right, left, right, left, right. Are you watching? Tell me which direction the yo-yo is going in.
Left, right, left, right, left, right.
You're in your house. There's a door. What color is the door?
Green.
What color is the door handle?
Green.
Put your hand on the green handle.
But both my hands are doing the yo-yo.
Anything is possible within this space. Don't question it.
Okay,
I'll believe.
I'll try.
Turn the knob. Connor, are you there? Connor?
Heidi. Heidi, can you hear me? Where'd you go?
Connor, are you in the house?
No, I'm outside the house now.
Connor, you should be inside the house.
I can't, but the door's locked.
Okay,
Heidi, can you call the police?
No, this is, we can fix this. Okay, Connor, go to the mailbox.
I don't think I'm ready, Heidi.
Connor, go to the mailbox.
Heidi, I don't think I can do
that. We're moving too fast, Connor. You need to get to the mailbox.
It.
You're going to get trapped there, Connor. Get out. What color is the mailbox,
green.
Connor? Open the mailbox now before it's too late. They're coming.
No.
They're coming for you now. Open it now.
No, not the comment, Bill.
Hypnosis with Heidi, everybody. Wonderful program. Mm-hmm. I can't say I've ever tuned in, but if it's like this,
yeah.
I might.
Arizona, AWCY-FM, Northeast, on Wednesdays from 8 to 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, drive time.
When you need to be hypnotized the most.
I don't know why we couldn't get a drive time slot. I really kept pushing for it, but they won't, at least, you know, they just won't lump in.
People don't, I mean, that's, you know.
Well, the news, the drive time is when people want to hear the news.
But it's not when they need to hear the news, though. They need to hear it now.
Right.
You get it?
No.
Let's move on to our special feature for tonight.
That's right. We are here to discuss, well, it's not really breaking news, but important news for this people. The
people in the city of Chicago,
yes.
For whom it applies.
It applies to everyone in Chicago, I believe, because mm-hmm. I would have a hard time believing that anyone in this beautiful city of ours is not rearing up with these warm temperatures mm-hmm. for a good old-fashioned barbecue.
A BBQ. Chicago is the cookout capital of the nation. Everybody knows it. However,
Nashville, eat my heart out.
But barbecues, if you have a barbecue, if you own a barbecue, if you are going to be attending a barbecue of any kind this summer, as we know that you will be, there's some new rules around it. And a lot of these rules, all in like, you know, legal jargon, we're going to break it down for you so that you know what you need to know.
Right, because there's nothing that will bring a chill to your nice, warm summer event than a citation, than a ticket.
No. Can't throw that on the grill. That's, you know, it's non-flammable paper. They learned that in the past. They've made the tickets non-flammable this time. And it's starting this month. So for all of you that are going to be having a barbecue for Memorial Day, just taking place in a couple of weeks, you know, very, very soon, make sure you're following all of these.
Yeah, keep all of these in mind. And just to provide a little bit of thoughtful commentary here, I do not endorse any of these. I find this to be gross overreach. So do not take our reporting on it as an endorsement mm-hmm. of any of this, because it is horrible, in my opinion.
I am non-biased. Cam is coming with a very clear bias, so just be aware of that. Our first ordinance is a fire safety ordinance. So if you have a barbecue, you need to make sure that barbecue, that cookout, has a few things. First, you need to have two means of egress. If there's a fire that breaks out, you need people to be able to get out with through two or more exits. There's a fire extinguisher on the premise, so within walking distance, grabbing distance of somebody at the party, and then, of course, road access for large vehicles, fire hydrants, first responders, etc.
Right, and if this is something you're doing outside, it isn't shouldn't be that big of an issue. You know, having acquiring a fire extinguisher is a bit of a hindrance. It's a bit of an annoyance. But as far as this other stuff, just doing it in the park, you should be fine.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or any fence that you can climb over, you know, with relative ease should also be okay. Next one, noise levels. So you might like to blare some loud music at your cookouts.
A lot of people sure do.
Chat very loudly, for example. New ordinances say that you need to be able to talk over whatever music you are playing 60 decibels or less. Furthermore, all music that is played must be, quote-unquote, good music. And especially if you want to play it loudly.
So just to clarify, this good music carve out, this is music that can be played above this 60 decibel level.
If it is good music, you can play it theoretically as loud as you want to, but it has to be good, and there's going to be some administrative discretion on that.
Are there any examples been given as to what would constitute good music?
Yes, there is one specific example, so you sort of can sort of gauge all of your music choices by that. But they said if it is as good or better than Smooth by Santana featuring the vocals of Rob Thomas from 1999, then that's okay.
Can we pull that up, actually?
Can we pull it up?
I mean, can we pull that up real quick?
I can.
I've never heard of this song before. Can we pull this up real quick?
Smooth by Santana?
Yes, please.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah, let's play a clip real quick. Our
community deserves clip. Okay. Well,
we'll come back to this later. Okay. Fine. Whatever. It doesn't
Smooth
matter.
Smooth by Santana. Who hasn't heard Smooth by Santana?
I haven't, which is why I want to hear it.
You haven't heard Smooth
by
Santana?
Well, we have to do the rest of the story, so let's just keep it moving.
Next one, park permit requirements. So we talked about having a cookout in a park. Now, to be clear, that's a great place for a cookout, but you need a permit. Even if it's being done in a public park, any gathering where there's a barbecue involved, however few people, you need to have a permit from the city in order to have it. That permit must include how many people are coming and what foods are on offer, and you need to have it in. You need to have that permit with at least 2 weeks' notice prior to your cookout.
And is there any sort of wiggle room on these? Because oftentimes, speaking from personal experience, you have a barbecue, you invite, let's say, 30 people.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 people show up, maybe 40 people show up. You know, people invite their friends. Is there any word on how that is going to be, what the room there is?
I think there's certainly a buffer room, plus or minus. I think a good rule of thumb is maybe plus or minus, 10 or so people. But, you want it. That's why you need an RSVP. That's why you always want to err on the side of having, assuming there's going to be more people than there might actually be. And then, of course, that all important RSVP is so important.
All right. So we've discussed fire safety. We've discussed noise ordinances. Now park permits. What else do we have?
What else? Well, weather. So too many people are having, in the city of Chicago, it was deemed too many people are having barbecues in dangerous weather situations. You are prohibited from having a cookout. You could get a fine, possibly even jail time, if you have a cookout when there's a 50% chance of precipitation or higher, a high likelihood of cloud cover, and or temperatures below 55 degrees Fahrenheit, which, it's not very often that happens in the city of Chicago during the summer, but it is very much possible. I think today we reached that.
As far as this danger that you brought up, I fail to see the danger of temperatures below 55. Was there any talk from the mayor's office specifically where they got this number from?
I mean, you could get a pretty nasty cough, if you're outside for long periods of time below that temperature. It's been deemed by the CDC. You could feel pretty nasty the next day.
Right. Okay.
And then you're missing work. You're missing school. It's bad for the economy, etc.
Right.
Yeah, and it puts everybody in a bad mood. The next one is ketchup options. So now new ordinances say that everybody has their own preferred brand. Maybe you like Heinz, maybe you like these name brands, maybe you like the generic, maybe you like a specialty kind of ketchup.
There's a hot ketchup that I get from the Trader Joe's that I'm quite fond of.
Maybe you don't like ketchup at all, and you're like, no ketchup for me. I don't even want it at my cookout because we're in Chicago. Can't put ketchup on a dog.
Not on a Chicago dog, certainly.
But unfortunately, regardless of what you are serving, you must have, according to new Chicago ordinance, a bottle of Hunt's brand ketchup available. The reason for that is it is the most popular brand of ketchup in the city of Chicago. And so you need to have it on offer because people will want it at your barbecue. And we want to give people what they want. You must have at least a 12-ounce bottle. And Hunt's, oh, that delicious, unique flavor of Hunt's.
And these are in quotes. Yeah. These are in quotes. I'm seeing that. So is that actually coming from the office of Brendan Johnson?
Yes. Specifically the reasoning behind this ordinance was because of its unique flavor. It's not a flavor you're going to get in other ketchups, you know?
Right.
That's just the facts. And so you need to have it because people in Chicago, they crave that unique flavor.
According to the mayor's office.
According to data, yeah, theoretically.
Right.
Next one is food safety. So obviously, I mean, this is no surprise, just like fire safety. Food safety, the mayor's office is not requiring you to have a food handler's license or anything just to, you know, flip burgers and put them on the plates of your hungry guests. You know, it's still a free country, but they're asking for just the basic food safety things to, you know, be put into effect. You just be considering the basics of what everybody should expect if they're going to any gathering where there's food involved. Regular hand washing. So you need to have like a hand washing station. Whoever's serving the food, you need to make sure they're washing their hands. Raw meat and vegetables separated. You know, if you're putting that stuff together, it's just bad news.
It transfers bacteria or whatever.
Yeah, germs. Bad germs. Food storage, you know, you can't be leaving something out for a few hours and then somebody goes for, you know, an extra, another scoop of pumpkin dip and it's bad. And then, of course, burgers need to be cooked at a 135 degree Fahrenheit or 57 degrees Celsius minimum.
Now, this I think is one of the more egregious things here. Because
this is lower than the FDA standards, to be clear.
Well, I mean, still, some people like their burger rare. Some people enjoy a little blood coming out, you know?
Yes, and you know, everybody, I think, also agrees with that, but you can't be serving a raw burger. And if it's below that point, it's determined that it's raw, you know? We want that to be in the public. Again, when you have a party like this, you got to imagine it's a public event. You're inviting people who need to know what to expect, I think is the reasoning. You know, you're inviting family members. Maybe they don't subscribe to the same raw meat diet that you do. You got to make sure you're cooking these things in a party setting to an adequate temperature. Now, that being said, Cam, I believe the next one is the food satisfaction ordinance, which says that burgers should not be cooked to over 160 degrees Celsius or 71 degrees, 160 degrees Fahrenheit, 71 degrees Celsius. That's when you get to your sort of like, you're burnt to a crisp, texture. And nobody wants to eat that. We can all agree.
No one wants that.
I mean, look at that. If you're looking at the screen,
It's pretty hideous.
I don't want that. You don't want that.
Yeah. For all those listening out there on the radio, be grateful that you cannot see what is being put on the stream right now because it is churning my stomach.
Yeah, that cow is turning in its grave. Next one is so again, as you mentioned, Cam, sometimes you invite people, they may or may not come, and you know if somebody comes late and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I was late. You're like, oh, all the food's gone. You know, that's not, we're trying to think of the guests when we're doing these ordinances or the city, you know, the city is. So the next ordinance is that there has to be at least one extra burger present in the case of an emergency. One more burger than you're expecting to give out. You got to keep an emergency burger in your backpack, in your backup, in order to serve. And the reason for that is like I said, there might be a surprise guest coming for perhaps maybe an appearance of an old friend, a long lost relative, a celebrity, an individual in need. You want to make sure you have that in that case of emergency. You don't want somebody like that coming and you to, you know, there to be no more food left.
Well, it's not so much that we want to, it's that it has now been mandated that an extra emergency burger needs to be on premises if you're holding a barbecue in the city of Chicago.
But to be fair, now, you know, devil's advocate here, sometimes laws are just helpful reminders that are also you might receive a fine for.
Right. So far, whatever. Not, mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, most of these are things that can easily be accomplished or are already in the process of, like, yeah. Anytime one would throw a barbecue, a lot of these things are already taken care of.
Right.
It's formalizing, I would say needlessly, things that are already being done.
Right. And now this next one is probably the most important one. So the next one is that Mayor Brandon Johnson must be invited. There's a requirement to all cookouts that happen in city limits that the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Brandon Johnson, must be invited to the cookout. It should be clear, he may not come. In fact, he probably won't. Any given day, there's hundreds, thousands of barbecues happening around the city. It would just be nice to be considered, I think, is his thought. And you got to make sure that you're preparing for in case he does. Furthermore, if he was to arrive, which again, unlikely, can't stress this enough, very unlikely that Brandon Johnson will actually come to your barbecue. But if he does, the ask is that you don't be weird about it.
This is the one I cannot get behind. This is by far the one that I think that is the most overreach. Brandon Johnson, if you're listening, you are not invited to my barbecue, and you can send the ticket directly to my butt if you have a problem with that.
I don't know how tickets work. I'm not sure if it can be sent to your butt, Cam.
I was going to say something a lot more rude, but we are on the public airwaves.
We are. I don't, like I said.
Overreach.
You
Absolute
might
overreach.
Be risking a fine by saying that.
Address it right to my butt.
I don't. What's the address of your butt, Cam?
Really,
it's, you know, most, and this is the thing.
Just give that out.
Most citizens of Chicago, most residents, they would be happy to have Brandon Johnson attend their barbecue. And this is just sort of cementing that. So hopefully it will be a little less weird if he does show up. You know, and everybody wanted him there, theoretically. But now, you know, they're going to be more expecting him.
Right.
Again, no promises that he's going to come, though. And don't be weird. Can't stress this enough. Don't be weird about it.
Anything else?
Yeah, one more is that there must be good beer. You can't have a cookout without good beer. The ask is Miller High Life or better. Not saying there can't be that bad beer. You know, if maybe you got an acquired taste to bad beer, but you can't just be bad beer. There has to be a few bottles of delicious Miller High Life or better.
Well, that is this year's recently introduced barbecue legislations.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed bag, you know, generally speaking, if once again to offer some thoughtful commentary, most of it at best is unnecessary. And at worst, Brandon Johnson, do not come to my barbecue. You're not invited. You're put on notice. I'm warning you. You are not invited to my barbecue.
What if he comes, though, Cam? It's a law that you have to expect him.
I can't promise I won't be weird about it. That's as far as I'll go right now. I can't promise that.
Can the mayor give you a ticket himself,
I wonder? We are at the end of the show. This has been AWCY-FM. We broadcast every Saturday, 8 to 9 p.m. on WLPN LP 105.5 FM Lumpen Radio.
That we do.
And twitch.tv/AWCY-FM. For reruns of this program and others in our expansive back catalog, you can find us wherever your podcasts are. As
yeah,
AWCYFM.
Hello?
AWCYFM on any of your podcast providers.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any comments, thoughts, or leads on stories for us to report, please reach out to awcyfm@gmail.com.
To our tip line, yeah.
And to close us out this evening, I thought we could take a quick... let's end on a positive note after
yes.
that downer of a special feature.
That's a little harsh.
Let's end on a positive note. We have a special clip from our morning show.
Ooh, I love these guys.
Peavy and the Jerk.
Now, they get the drive time.
They are a lot of fun. And you know what? I can't begrudge them for getting that drive time segment because they are hilarious.
A laugh riot.
Absolutely. So to close us out, we're going to go to a special clip from them.
From Peavy and the Jerk.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you at the barbecue.
Welcome back to PB
and the Jerk.
Mornings.
We just got done listening to The End of the Game by Weezer off of their hit album, Van Weezer.
I love that Rivers, man.
You know what I love even more?
Ooh.
One of the PB and the Jerk scrambled calls.
Ooh, first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. Right before the break, we talked to Charlene, who had some concerns about their partner, what they're doing when they're not around, when they're at school.
Yeah, this so-called rain has been taking some suspiciously early mornings for their classes.
We can see about that. What we're going to do is we're going to call them up at where they are right now. And you know what we're going to do, PB?
Oh, what are we going to do?
We're going to offer them free tickets to Stevie Nicks. Yeah, man. You know, I'm going to be there.
Oh, I'm going to be there, too. But who is this rain character going to take?
Yeah.
Is it going to be our caller from earlier?
Charlene.
Or...
I think she likes Stevie Nicks.
Oh, yeah, I think she'd like it, too. But let's see if there's another honey bunny in the situation. All right, I got the phone right here.
Oh, man, is that the PB and the Jerk phone?
Oh, you know it is.
It's bigger than I remember it being.
Oh, and it gets a little bit bigger every time we use it.
That's its power.
All right, here we go. Oh, it's ringing.
It's ringing?
It's ringing.
All right, shut up. Hello?
Is this Rain?
Yeah. Who's this?
You just won 2 free tickets to Stevie Nicks for you and a guest.
Next week at...
I'm not...
Subterranean.
It's Stevie Nicks at Sub T?
Yeah, for you and a guest.
Yeah,
This isn't Bowl?
But here's the thing. You got 2 tickets. You gotta tell us who you're gonna bring.
Who is this, first of all?
Well,
we just give out the tickets.
Yeah, listen, we're not part of this.
Behind your back, keep your hands behind your back, and face down.
Ooh, it sounds like something pretty naughty's going on over there. Is that right, Rain?
No, not necessarily. I'm sorry. Who is this?
Hey, listen, we just got the tickets.
You just got the tickets, and calling me to give me the tickets
But you're not going to get the tickets unless you tell us who you're taking. Is it going to be the person with their hands behind their back?
No, I don't think they're going to be doing too much.
Yeah, why is that?
Why are you calling me right now?
I think we've made this pretty clear. We got some tickets.
Do you know something?
I'm gonna be real with you.
It's hard for me to think right now. I'm in the middle of hostage negotiations.
You know, I was in the middle of hostage negotiations last night, if you know what I mean, PB.
I know that the Jerk. Well, you foiled us again. It's PB and the Jerk, and you're on the radio.
Well, I you know what? I don't know. I'm not going to say any more than that could further incriminate. Yeah, no, you're right. This is a very kinky situation I'm in right now, and I will take the Stevie Nicks tickets.
Hold on a second.
What?
You've got to tell us who you're giving the tickets to.
All right,
can't get the tickets.
I'm going to give them to the girl whose hands are tied up behind her back right now. That's who I'm giving.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
What if I told you that Charlene was on the other line and she heard everything?
Oh, God. Charlene?
Yeah. Busted.
Busted. Another scrambled call out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Okay. This is kind of embarrassing. This is a hostage situation. I'm embarrassed to admit it, and I don't want to be doing this, but I'm holding up a Baskin Robbins right now. I got 3 employees on the ground. One of them died from shock already. The other 2, critical condition at best. I'm doing this, though, to save up money for those Stevie Nicks tickets because I wanted to take Charlene. I don't know what to do, guys. I listen to you guys every morning for guidance, for advice. I study puzzles. I make puzzles and riddles, and I listen to you guys every morning to try to refresh my brain, give me – it's like brain games. You guys are like – you're the smelling salts of the radio, and I – do you have any advice for me to get out of this?
Well, it's a really touching story, right?
Yeah, that's you know, it's always great to hear how we reach out to people in the morning and make their days a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been Scrambled Calls on PB.
You're just going to leave me
Jerk.
Like that?
Catch you at the Stevie Nicks concert.